We're speaking on swimming against the current. I just want to make sure no one's went over the waterfall. That's a bad place to be. Amen. Pastor Kelly's been doing an excellent job teaching. We're going to continue on in it today, against the current. Before we start, let's talk to God for a moment. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity and privilege, God, to stand before your people today, God, to deliver your word and your message. And God, I ask that you would open their hearts and their minds, God, that you would give them sharpness and attentiveness, God, as they hear your word. God, that they would hear it accurately. God, that they would extract the truth and apply it to their lives. God, that it would build and grow them. God, that they may move forward in you. God, as they grow in their walk and their relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And God, we just ask that you would use me today, God, as a vessel to be poured through. God, that my words spoken would be led by your Spirit. God, that they would empower your people today, God, to do your will. Father, we just thank you. Holy Spirit, we invite you to have your way today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So swimming against the current, I wanted to talk a couple of verses about that. We're going to jump into the book of John, chapter 16. In this passage, Jesus is talking to his disciples and telling them of his coming death, and when it happens, you guys are going to scatter, and you're going to turn away from me and leave me alone, and they're, of course, going, no way, what could ever be so bad we would do that, God? Or Jesus, rather. So picking up in verse 33, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I believe these verses still apply to us today. Just take comfort in me, Jesus Christ, because in this world you will have trouble. We will swim against the current of life. It does not say it's impossible to do, but it says it will happen. It may come against you in finance. It may come against you in marriage. It may come against you in childbearing. It may come against you in relationships. It may come against you in health. It may come against you in many, many forms. But you will swim against a current in this life. Or you will jump on board and float measly downstream and go over the waterfall. But if you're working for the Lord, if you're doing what he's asked you to do, you're going to be going against the current. And I love the last part. I have overcome the world. Which means not by R.B. Shound's strength, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. By the strength of Jesus Christ. By my Lord and Savior, I too can overcome the world. No matter what current swims against me, Christ has already overcame it. So if I walk in Christ, if I follow his plan for my life, then I too can overcome the world. We're going to jump into Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God says he's going to be with us, says he's not going to leave us, says while we're with him, he's going to strengthen us, enable us, empower us. So if he says he's going to do all that and we're not experiencing that, it's because we haven't got away with him. Because if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and never changing, then it's on us if we're not experiencing what he says he's offering. Right? So we need to realign ourselves. And sometimes we're swimming so hard in the current, we're looking so far ahead of ourselves, we're missing what God has for us in the immediate. If you look at my picture right here, this kayaker, You can see he's getting out of the mainstream, the current, the rapid, and getting in behind this rock. Well, the rock in our lives is Jesus Christ. And behind the rock forms an eddy where the current is coming downstream, but when it hits an object, it blows it out and it parts and it wraps back on itself and actually pulls upstream. And if we'll jump into the eddies that God has in store for us as we're swimming upstream, the current actually brings us upstream rather than our strength and our effort. That current that brings us upstream is provided by our rock, Jesus Christ, and then we're propelled by His power and His might and not by our own strength and power. And as we sit in that place, it's a safe place inside of a big rapid train, and even a Class 5 rapid will have these. There's safe places inside of those storms, inside of those rapids. But we have to choose to get out of the current long enough to rest in the eddy. So I've titled today, Eddy Out. Eddy Out. Back in my younger days, I did quite a bit of kayaking, so I know a little bit of river terminology. I thought maybe some of you wouldn't have that, so I wanted to explain what an eddy is. But one danger of an eddy is when you're pulling into an eddy, the current is going opposite direction. It completely changes. So as you transition through an eddy line, you have to be very careful or the current will actually flip you upside down, sinking you in your boat. So it is possible, it is doable, but you have to be aware of the dangers of getting into the eddy. Is right at that transition period is when the current is fighting you the hardest. It's when it's coming at you the strongest. But as soon as you break through to the eddy line, your boat comes to rest and you settle in and you can relax and you're no longer doing this, going frantically against the current, but you're just sitting and resting. And as we rest behind the rock of Jesus Christ, we then draw from His strength, from His power. We rejuvenate, we replenish, and we can look ahead again upstream through the current. And rather than looking clear to the end of the rapid train, we can look to the next eddy. Sometimes we get so focused on what's way out in front of us, we miss the little blessings in between. And we miss the little pieces all along the way that God has in store for us. And we miss going away with Him and being strengthened and restored. When He's inviting us all along the way, okay, swim against the current, eddy out. Now it's time to get back out of the eddy and into the current. Go, 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 eddy out. And we keep moving piece by piece, rapid by rapid, until eventually we get through the whole entire rapid train. Amen. Did I just muddy up the eddies? I hope not. Some benefits of the eddy. We can rest. We can relax. We can regain strength. We can regain focus and clarity. And they provide a place of safety. They keep you out of the current, out of the hard churning water. When you're in the middle of a rapid, the rapid's hitting you in the face, you're trying not to suck down water, that's splashing, it's dousing, and you can't really see a lot if you're in much white water at all. But as soon as you get out of that into the eddy, all the water drops back down to below your boat level, at least your deck level, and there's no more water in the face, you can see again, to be able to analyze the rapid ahead of you, the current which is coming against you. And beyond that, you can see into the next eddy. If it wasn't for eddies, kayakers could never climb up through rapid trains. Eddies are what allow them the ability to keep moving forward upstream. Because if you just got in a rapid train and tried to paddle against it and paddle against it, eventually you would tire, you would weaken, and you would wash out. And eventually you would be so mentally beat down that you would think, what's the use? I've tried and tried and tried again and I couldn't make it, so why even try anymore? Why not just join the rest of the floaters and let the current take me where it would? Have you given up on ministry? Have you given up on life? Have you given up on your marriage? Have you given up on your children? Maybe at some point you've given up on God. You're just tired of fighting, tired of swimming against the current. Just say, I'm done. That's it. I'm just going to float and the current's going to take me somewhere. That somewhere in our spiritual life is called hell. Floating aimlessly somewhere without Christ guiding us. The Word of God teaches us that a fruit tree that does not produce fruit is good for being cut down and thrown into the fire. Salt that does not have saltiness is good for being thrown out and trodden underfoot. Are we salty? Are we the light of the world? Are we producing good fruit in our relationships, in our workplace, in our home? Because if you're not, God says you're floating. You're not swimming against the current. I hate spanking my kids' butts. I don't enjoy it. But I look ahead at the end of the rapid train and say, these are the behaviors I want in my son and my daughters when they become adults and become contributing human beings in the world around them. And in order to get that result, discipline has to be handed out. And they don't get a lot of spankings, but they get them when they need them. And we sit down and we have a discussion. Do you know why you're getting spanked? This is the reason. These were your actions. This is why it's not okay. And we look in the Word of God. This is what God says about your actions. And He says, if I don't correct it now, it has the potential to send you to hell later. And God gave them this really padded area right here. He gave me one too. It was well used as a child. Ask my dad. He's out in the foyer. Ask him on the way out. It's not to be used as abuse. It's to be used as discipline, according to the Word of God, for the correcting of a rebellious spirit, of rebellious actions. Because if your children are going to rebel against you, they're going to rebel against God. With us, it can have some pretty bad repercussions. But with God, it can last for an eternity. There's lots of dangers out there. But if we don't take action now in our lives, we're just floating. And if we're just floating, God says, what use are you? He's pretty clear in His Word what use we are. Just make sure we're swimming against the current. It's not easy. It's not always fun. But God says, just for a little while, and then come away and rest with me. Jump into the eddy line. Experience my goodness, my love, my strength. Let me build you up and prepare you for the next set of rapids. Let me prepare you and give you what you need to get to the next eddy. Some of the dangers of the eddy, we get complacent. We just get comfortable and say, this is really easy living. I like it right here. I don't want to move from right here. And we get the wrong focus. We begin looking around at all the raging rapids around us. Or we begin looking at the floaters coming by and go, well, that looks really fun and easy. They're not putting in any effort and they're just going along. I want some of that. Or we repeat the cycles. An eddy will take you upstream, bring you downstream, take you upstream, bring you downstream. And it never gets you anywhere. It's good for a while because it lets you relax, lets you rest, lets you regain strength. Another danger of the eddy is it's stagnant. That's where all the nastiness gathers. And it never continues washing downstream to dissipate. It pools. One other danger of the eddy is it can wash out. If you stay in an eddy too long, the waters will rise. And the eddy will soon become a rapid. It will no longer be an eddy. Often we try to move in our Christian lives inside of our own timing and not the timing of God. If we're on His timing, the eddies are there and available at the appropriate time when we need them. If we try moving at our timing, maybe the water's too high, maybe the water's too low. But His timing is perfect timing. His will is perfect. I want to dig into some verses. First one we want to look at is overcoming the distractions. We can often have distractions in our way as we're looking out into the rapid from our eddy. So Proverbs chapter 4. Verses 25 through 27. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all of your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. God says, don't get distracted by all the stuff around you. But be focused on my will, my direction for your life. Stay true to what I've called you to do. We often have this problem of comparing ourselves to others. Do you know you are who God made you to be for a reason and a purpose? Not one of us alike, which is pretty amazing if you think about the billions of people on the planet. But God has an individual, unique purpose for each one of us. Are you comfortable with who you are in God? Because part of that time in the eddy is God showing you who you are to Him. God restoring who He created you to be from even before you were in your mother's womb. Because since that time, even words spoken over us in the womb have impacted and affected our lives and tainted who we think we are versus who God knows we are, who He created us to be. So those times in the eddy aren't just, I'm relaxing, I'm comfortable, but it's God pouring into us, God renewing our mind to the mind of Christ, seeing ourselves more clearly, more accurately to who He created you and I to be. Not who the world has told us we are, not who life's circumstances have told us we are, but who God says we are. Use that time in the eddy to be refreshed and strengthened. Matthew 11. Verses 28 through 30. Is Jesus saying He'll help us out in the times of distraction? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus Christ is constantly calling us to come confide in Him, come take refuge in Him. Come cast our burdens, our cares upon Him, rather than bear them for ourselves. Often we get distracted with the load we're carrying and forget we have someone we can take it to, and He'll carry it for us. Often we get in that rapid train and it's coming at us so fiercely in an overloaded schedule, an overwhelming lack of joy, an overwhelming depression, an overwhelming discouragement, and we just let it build up here. But our Heavenly Father, our Lord of Lords, says, "Come unto me. I'll carry that load for you. I've paid the price for that." And swimming against the current can be much easier if you cast all your cares upon me, if you bring your burden to me. Do you know that Jesus Christ has your best interest in mind? He doesn't want life to be hard and difficult, miserable. Though there are seasons that are that way, you shouldn't have a decade that way or a lifetime that way. Excuse me. Next piece we're going to look at is the timing of God. Do you know there's God's timing and there's my timing? God's timing is always great. My timing is once in a while great. His is always perfect. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." Does the Lord establish your steps? Or do you establish them? I've done it both ways. God's way is much better than my way. Mine usually ends in catastrophe and disaster and head over tea kettle. God's ends in peace and joy, in wellness and strength. Make sure God's steps are what is leading you. As you're managing your time or looking for the timing of God, He gives us a helper in John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 13. "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come." Do you invite the Holy Spirit into your life every day to lead you, to guide you? It's a lot easier to find God's timing if you're directed by the Holy Spirit. And some people think it's an audible voice, and some people have had God speak to them audibly. I'm jealous of those people. I have never had the audible voice of God spoken to me. But I do know when the Spirit of God is speaking to me, and it's a quickening inside of my spirit that I can't shake or get rid of. And if I'll invite Him, Even when I go to purchase a vehicle or a hunting rifle or even groceries, if you ask him, he's going to say if it's a good day to buy or not. And you're going to have a peace inside of you or an uncomfortable, knotted, this is not right inside of you. But we have to listen. We have to take that time to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives every day. Because he's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself upon you. But if you invite him, he's there, he's available, he's ready. I have lots of Holy Spirit stories I could talk about, but I don't have time today. That's going to be another day. Ephesians chapter 5. I want to look at a couple more time management verses. Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do you know God's will for your life? I hope you at least know His general will for your life, as according to the Bible. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. To love your neighbor as yourself. That's the basic, bottom line, everyday will of God for you. But inside of that, He has a specific will for each one of us as individuals that He would like us to fulfill as we swim against the current. He goes on to say in verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, or all kinds of evil. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing and making music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. So it gives us a little bit of instruction of how to live our lives as we swim against the current. Tells us some things to do and some things not to do. God's word is filled with that. Do you use His instruction to help manage your time? Because when we're moving from eddy to eddy, you can time the rapids right. So instead of riding the peak of the rapid, which is really difficult, you ride down in the swell of the rapid, which helps you out. And if you wait for that moment in the rapid to come along, it's a lot easier to get through the rapid and over to the next eddy. But if you don't have your timing right, it's going to wash you out and take you downstream, and you get to start over. And if we wait too long, we talked about it earlier, washout comes. The water rises and the eddy goes away. And we've lost our opportunity to move to the next eddy. Or the water drops far enough that we can't get upstream because it's too bony. There's too many rocks. So if we move in God's timing, the water level is always right. The eddy is always available. And when life gets too hard from paddling upstream or swimming upstream, Jesus Christ is waiting there, the rock. And we just need to break through the eddy line and take some time to spend with Him, to be refreshed, to be renewed, to be strengthened. The last one I want to look at is the wrong focus. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 1 through 5. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is a really scary verse if you're a judgmental person. This really makes me think very closely before I accuse someone of something else. Or when I feel like I'm being judgmental of someone, I think of this verse and think, is this how I want God judging my actions? Is this how I want God judging me on my day when I stand before the throne? And I usually say, no, I want more grace. I want more kindness. I want more love. So it causes me to change my heart in the situation and to judge much differently. Instead of judging, I give grace. I give love. I give patience. I give kindness. Because that's what I want judged with. I want judged with the fruit of the Spirit and not with condemnation. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. How often do we not look at ourselves and we look at others and compare ourselves and say, well, I'm not doing as bad as that guy or that gal or Arby. But we are to look at our own selves. We are responsible for us first. And until you can fill Jesus' shoes, you have no place to judge anyone. Because even though Jesus sat in that place, when he was here on earth, he judged no one. But he showed them love and compassion and care, kindness and healing and redemption and restoration. And as long as we're here on this earth, that's what we're supposed to be showing one another. Not judgment, not condemnation. But often in the rapids, we get upstream a ways and we get into our eddy and we look downstream and say, I did what those guys couldn't do. Or we look at the floaters and those guys aren't even trying. I'm so much better than them. And rather than being an equal with them, we become superior to them, which is not Christ-like. We are superior to no one. Christ died for all, that all may inherit the kingdom of earth, or the kingdom of heaven, rather. Christ died for all of mankind. You're not superior to anyone. You have different gifts. You have different talents. You have different abilities. But you're no better off than the next guy, except for maybe you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. But if you've done that, then you have a much greater responsibility than someone that hasn't, to go and share the gospel, to share the love of Christ, to be the light of the world. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Often we focus on the wrong things, because we see ourselves as better than or less than someone else. Martha's looking at Mary saying, well, I'm up working and cooking and cleaning and I'm doing everything, and she's just sitting there. She's doing nothing. What Martha didn't realize was she was in the current. She was swimming against the current. And right here in the other room, there was an eddy available. And she was missing the eddy because she was so focused on getting through the current. She was so focused on the task at hand. And Mary saw the opportunity to slip away into the eddy and sit at the feet of Jesus and glean from him and receive from him and be restored by him and be loved by him. Neither one is right or wrong, except for in which one's in God's timing right now for you in your life. What's God asking you to do? Because he may be asking me to swim against the current while he's asking you to come sit in the eddy. And he may be asking you to swim in the current while he's asking me to come sit in the eddy. And sometimes he's going to ask us all to swim in the current together. And sometimes he's going to ask us all to get in the eddy together. But if it's not in God's timing, it's not right. It's not okay. But what we need not to do is judge one another for where we're at, but rather to encourage and build and edify one another through the Word of God, to strengthen and empower and say, hey, Bear Claw, how are you doing in the eddy? Because life out here in the current's tough. I can't wait until I get an eddy. But enjoy it while you got it, buddy. Because this next rapid's a doozy. God's calling us to come up higher. God's calling us to swim further up the stream than we've ever swam before. And we're all at different places along the stream. But we all have one destination in mind, and that's heaven. And as we're going along to heaven, we need to be looking at the floaters coming by and rescuing them, just pulling them into an eddy. The first eddy is salvation. They need to know they have a need, and it's salvation. They need a Savior. So some of us are clear back down by the waterfall still, where we're barely hanging on. And we're just looking for that very first eddy. We're just treading water. Because all those floaters, they get to the waterfall and go, this isn't where I want to be. This has devastating effects. And they're back paddling right at the waterfall's edge. And they're trying to get away from it. But they're looking for you and I to throw them a lifeline. And say, I'll help you out. Grab a hold. Come on with us. We're swimming against the current. If you ever watch geese fly or geese swim, they do it in a V. It's because the first one breaks the current of air or water, and it gets easier for the ones behind it. And the further down the line you are, it creates an eddy effect, and it pulls everyone else along. So the more of us that are swimming together in the same direction, which is against the current, the easier it becomes for others to swim along with us. There's less resistance. But we have to do our part of inviting them along. And what better time of year than the Easter season, when we celebrate the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? People are more open to the gospel at Easter time. It's a time of year where the whole world thinks about Jesus Christ. Some in a good way and some in a not so good way. And there are a few out there that just think about rabbits that lay eggs. But most of the world, even non-believers, think of Easter as a time of Jesus Christ. So in this Easter season, be inviting some of those floaters to swim along with you against the current, to come and enjoy the eddy with you. Because we're all in need of a Savior. Some of us have just found Him. Amen. Make sure you don't pass your eddies. Make sure you don't miss an opportunity to get alone, to get away with God, to let Him pour back into you. I'm going to invite Pastor Kelly to come. He's going to close us out this morning.
All right, give Arby a hand, would you? That was awesome.